Well, Brett, I'm glad you're still here. We'll begin our testimony meeting with hymn number 165. And the way that we'll do this, you can see in the schedule of the meeting, is from 6:45 to 7:45. So we'll be done by 7:45. But the meeting will only go as long as there are testimonies. So if there's a half hour of testimonies, and we'll stop in a half hour. We'll just sort of see how it goes. So we'll again begin with hymn 165, and then we'll ask Brother David Rice to open the meeting with a word of prayer. 165.
Father, we're thankful to Thee for the opportunity of our gathering. We ask Thy blessing to be with us, continuing through this next hour as we testify to Thy praise and our thanks to Thee. We ask Thy blessing upon our hearts and minds as we testify, that the words might be echoed in each heart, that they might give good expression to our appreciation of Thee and the privileges that we have in our Christian fellowship. We ask Thy blessing to be upon Brother Jim as he leads our thoughts, and we wait before Thee this hour in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, brethren, this again is our testimony meeting. Brother Jim Parkinson, as mentioned, will be leading it. We have a roving mic. Elias is in the back there, so maybe raise your hand or get his attention, and he'll get over there. So turn it over to Brother Jim.
So you can either say Mike or Elias, and he'll come. Now today has been the 23rd. We'll just remind ourselves of some thoughts that were given to us this morning, or suggested to us this morning, as soon as I can turn the pages appropriately. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalms 110, verse 7. We perceive that if it was necessary for our glorious Lord from the heavenly courts to drink of the brook of experience and gain wisdom by the things he suffered, endured, and thereby to demonstrate his confidence in God, it is equally necessary that all the members of his body should likewise drink of the brook in the way, if they would hope to share with the Lord in the kingdom blessings, glory, honor, and immortality, the divine nature. Our dear Master's time for drinking at the brook is past, yet the lessons and encouragements, therefrom are still before us in the scripture records. It is now our time to drink of the brook of experience, to learn the lessons that are necessary to our preparation for the kingdom. It is not enough that we have tasted of the brook of experience, that we have learned something of obedience, that we have endured some trials, that on some occasions we have learned obedience through the things which we have suffered. We must continue drinking until we can gladly say, Father, thy will, not ours, be done. If we drink not of the brook of the way, we shall not share in the glory to follow. In our lives, we've all gone to school at one time or another, having sometimes done better than others. But we had lessons. And we would have probably forgotten all of those lessons, or almost all of them, if it hadn't been that we had tests. And so, in our school of Christ, we get our lessons and we get our tests. And from those tests, we sometimes learn more from the tests than we did from the lessons that were given to us. Now, of course, if you take a course like biology or physics or chemistry, you may get an hour of theory, but 2, 3, maybe even 4 hours of laboratory practice. This weekend, we're getting our lessons. We're getting our theory. But we have to go home and get our laboratory practice. Now, from the things that we have learned, we get to share with others what we have learned. And sometimes the mistakes we made in the laboratory, we get to spare others making that mistake by telling them what happened. Or in some cases, even demonstrating it on a small scale. In this testimony meeting, we have an opportunity to share with one another those lessons that have brought us closer to our Lord. So who would like to be first? Brother Harry. Oh yes, and do tell us your name and where you're from.
I'm Brother Harry Wildblood from Mahomet, Illinois, Central Illinois. And it's a privilege to be here. And I was thinking of the Lord provides. We had some interesting experiences getting ready for the convention. We printed out lots of references and we highlighted and took notes and, you know, et cetera. And as things were getting close, we were planning for driving to the airport and all that stuff. Well, Tuesday of this week, my car had been, the suspension had been kind of rough, and I noticed that one tire was higher in the car in the rear than the other, and I had the oil changed, and the fellow said, did you know that this is a significant problem? There's got to be something wrong here. So I thought, well, is there something wrong with one of the springs or this and that? I took it to another place, and they put up on the lift, yeah, there's a spring that's broken. So I called the dealership, got a warranty. So I called them up. They said, well, it would take us about a week to get that fixed. Okay, well, let me go down. Well, Sister Karen, we bought these two cars the same day, same model, same day. There was another whole experience why that happened, but so she's driving to the dealership to pick me up, and on the way she heard this bang and she thought she hit something. So she picks me up, said, I think I hit an animal or something. I said, no, sweetie, you didn't do that. you know, it's something else. When we get home and I looked at the back of her car, and one wheel is like 4 inches higher than the other in the back, and she had broken a spring in the back. So two cars, identical problem. So I called up the dealership and said, well, guess what, we have another one. And he said, well, bring it in. So we brought it in, and the fellow we talked to said, well, it would take until next Wednesday till we get this fixed. So they did give us a loaner, was in this warranty, so we had that. But then the manager said, well, we will get these done by tomorrow. We'll get them done by the end of Wednesday. So that was very nice, and sure enough, they were ready. We picked it up, everything's fine. So I'm packing up everything, and I notice I can't find all these references. And I've taken notes, I had everything ready, but the references where a lot of things came from, there's nowhere to be found. So I thought, okay, what now? Well, I printed them all out again, and Lord overruled that because of the flights and the time and the layover and whatnot, I was able to go through everything again, get it all fresh in my mind, highlight notes, just the way I'd done it the first time. And I got done 5 minutes before I landed in San Diego. So the Lord provides exactly what we need. It's all in His timing. And we had some wonderful fellowship yesterday in the Bach home. But it's a real privilege to be here.
And we're glad that you insist that you can come out. Now you found a way, you can come more often. And Brother Mark.
Mark Heller from San Luis Obispo. I'm here with my wife Elaine, and we just wanted to thank the San Diego class for putting on the convention. It's one of our highlight conventions, and we always enjoy the fellowship here, and the lessons are wonderful, and just kind of uplifts us, you know, when we go home and have that little time of lab work where we can deal with the other half of things. Wanted to express and bring the love of our class in San Luis. They all sent their love Sunday ago, and wanted everybody to remember theirs. I think some of them might be dialing in. And we also came down with Elaine's sister Nancy and my brother-in-law Carlos. They drove from Portland all the way to our house. What the intent was to continue down here and be with you at convention, but Carlos wasn't feeling too good this morning, and so they both decided to stay home to kind of deal with that. But they were going to try to dial in on the internet so they could at least listen in. So they wanted their love brought also. And for me, I just want to praise my Heavenly Father. We are so blessed. It's just unbelievable, you know, to have the friends and the fellowship and the knowledge of the truth, and have our Heavenly Father watching over us each day, and knowing that He's in charge and control of everything that happens around us, whether it be bad or good, and the lessons from that. So have a chance to do a little witnessing now and then. It doesn't seem to do any good, but, you know, you try. But it's always a privilege to put the word out and see where it falls. So just want to tell everybody it's wonderful to have you as family, and it's great to be here with you, and we love you all.
That's the time to remember the scripture, cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it right away. Cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. And sometimes a person hears it, thinks it's ridiculous, but just doesn't feel the need of it yet until something happens. But if he's never heard it before, he doesn't know what to come back to. So it's worth the effort. If not now, then in the kingdom. And who'd like to be next? And Sister Sue.
Well, our dear son and his wife, Amber.
Well, Sister Sue, could you tell us
Sue Doctor
your name,
from Chicago. Our dear son, Philip, and his wife, Amber, just took us to Japan for 2 weeks. They paid for it. That was very gracious of them. We were on a small tour with 8 people, 4 of us the family, and we didn't appreciate this or didn't know anything that the leader, Livia, is an internationally famous Taoist. And so she, in the morning, we would go to temples and shrines. And, you know, it was like sightseeing. The first shrine we went to, there were these very long ropes, maybe like up to the ceiling. And at the top, there was like a bell. And the ropes were the thickness of the kind of ropes that you would climb in gym class. And there were lines of people going to these ropes. And they would pull the rope, and then they would clap their hands twice. They would throw in money, they would bow, and they would clap their hands twice again. Well, why would they do that? Well, they were waking up God, their God. And I realized, yeah, this is just like Elijah. And, you know, this isn't a joke. They really think, well, maybe God's sleeping. And it was really sad. These people are very superstitious in Japan. And it's not like they worship their God because he's wonderful. They're essentially trying to appease the gods. And this is just plain idol worship. The idols are all over, my goodness. And then we would have lunch together, and then we would go on these very long nature hikes. The nature hikes were lovely, except at the point where I almost fell down a ravine, because they didn't maintain the trail. But the Lord was there. I was swinging on a rope, and my husband grabbed me, my son pulled me over. I thought, well, this is an experience. And these people really, I brought tracks over, but I couldn't distribute tracks. They were really into these this idol worship and stuff like this, Shinto. The trees were covered with papers, and it was prayers, because this tree was sacred and the God lived in the tree. There were like little stone humps, and these were called, this was the god Jizu, and people would make little bibs for Jizu. I mean, it's so ridiculous in order to have blessings. Well, toward the last day, Richard and I and Philip and Amber, we would go off sometimes because we would just get tired of it. But the last day, we went to the brand new religion, which was 150 years old. And Tenri. Mm-hmm. And prior to this, the guide had not talked about the beliefs of the religion. And so, you know, I felt like I was just observing, not a tourist. Well, now she was telling the beliefs that Tenri wanted to possess this woman. I wanted to possess this woman. The woman said no, so Tenri afflicted her son many times. Finally, the woman said yes, and she became possessed by him and was babbling and healing, just awful stuff. And the leader said this was shamanism. And I said, wait, excuse me, did you say shamanism? And she said yes. She says, this is the god, Tenri is the god of creation, just like the god of the Christians and the Jews. And I said, did you say shamanism? And she said, yes. I said, and I had told everybody I was a Christian. I said, I do not believe my God would be honored by me going into that temple. So I will wait for you. Because it was just like there was no understanding that there were different religions. None whatsoever. Everything was one. You know, So anyway, but it was very lovely in that people are very courteous. When you go to the store, the people wait on you. You don't have to go, excuse me, can I buy this? They are right there. The children all wear uniforms, and they walk very obediently. I mean, I'm ready to move there. I just can't speak Japanese. but it was beautiful walking in the on the mountains, as we went in the mountains. We did, I mean, the beliefs are so bizarre there. We passed the home, well, the temple of the Marathon monks around this mountain. You can Google Marathon monks. These people sign up for a year to run 100 marathons around the mountain in what, straw sandals. So they run from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then they do their work in the fields. Now, you can't run when it's cold, so these marathons are pretty jam-packed in the spring and summer months. And you just look at them and go, this is how you worship God? You know, this is your God? He's pleased with, you know, this stuff? And they really didn't talk about beliefs. They just did this thing. So when we finally got home and we were exhausted and we were being driven home in a car, the driver of the car, he was talking all about his life, and I was able to give him a tract back in Illinois. But anyway, it was a very good experience. It was broadening, and it was lovely to be with our children. It was very peaceful and beautiful. Anyway, I thank the Lord for this unusual experience and perhaps giving me insight.
Thank you. Now, actually, there is a sacred tree, or at least there was. It just wasn't in Japan, and it took a little carpentry work before it was erected on Calvary. And who would like to be next? And Brother John.
Yeah, Brother John Baker, also from Muhammad Ecclesia, and bring the love. I didn't catch it, Brother Harry did, and also Sister Isabel and my mom. You asked about experiences, Brother Jim, and we had a very deep one related here to San Diego 22 years ago. Some of the brethren here know my brother died at that time, and my brother was estranged from the family. And it was a matter that I didn't realize how much anger and resentment I had because of the experience. I grew up, you know, not in the truth. And we had a lot of death in the family when I was young. My dad died when I was 15. My brother was older. And his sister died when she was 18 and I was 9 years old. That was part of what the Lord used bringing me and my mom into the truth later on. But apparently my brother associated home with pain and death, and he became estranged and never wanted to come and see my mom, and he professed to be a Christian, and you know, I really couldn't understand that. And when I learned the truth, I tried to share the truth with him, and he'd heard about it all in the philosophy classes kind of thing. Well, he kind of led us to believe that he was just a vagabond wanderer and we would not hear from him, that he would, you know, just show up if he ever wanted to see us, whatever. Well, he died in late 95, and we were notified immediately. He had my mom's name still down as the emergency contact. He worked as an engineer for Kyocera for 13 years here in San Diego. So we're contacted immediately, and the body is shipped home, and we had funeral and all that. But the part of the experience that the Lord's hand was really in is that there was a man who really coordinated sending all my brother's effects home. And I had to call this man and speak with him about, you know, making arrangements and all of that. Well, when I called him, he was sobbing on the phone and asking really inappropriate questions like, why weren't you there for your brother? What, you know, what was this about? And I was pretty upset. And I guess I'd always felt pretty protective toward my mom because I guess I look back on my brother and I didn't realize kind of the sense of shame that you can have in a family when a family member turns the way that my brother had. Now, my mom always thought of my brother as this kind of, you know, young, you know, curly-haired boy who smiled when she gave him meals and so forth, and she always gave him the benefit of the doubt. Well, it was very hard for me to do in that kind of protective mode with my mom. So when this man, you know, reacted in this way, and the next thing I hear, before I really get a chance to say anything or explain, that was my brother's choice to be estranged, I hear his wife, well, his wife had answered the phone when she heard my voice. Her voice had gone absolutely stone cold. And the next thing I hear after the man asked these questions, the doorbell rings, and I hear his wife say, "Paul, you got to get off the phone. The priest is here." And so my mind is racing 100 miles a minute. What's going on? What was wrong with my brother? I mean, I had, you know, was he in the drugs? Did he die of AIDS? You know, was he a neo-Nazi? I mean, all these things. I'm thinking, what do I have to do to protect my mom from whatever this experience is? You know, sometimes the absence of information, the adversary just loves to try to fill in the blanks and make you worry and all of that. So I had a day where it just seemed like, I call it, it was like the Lord brought the experience to a full boil. This resentment I'd had from early childhood toward my brother. Here all this is going through my mind, I couldn't sleep all night. The next day I had to call the man back. It was a totally different experience. This man had been so immersed in seeing how my brother lived, and he was kind of a lone wolf who just, just the aloneness of his life really bothered that man, that no person should live so lonely as my brother apparently had. Of course, it was his choice to live in that way. And he apologized for everything he'd said the day before and asked and so forth. And it was like the Lord brought this thing to a full boil and just lanced it. And it was interesting, I was talking to one of the brethren at supper tonight, and they were talking about a similar experience that just kind of brought me right back around to this. But it was a very good lesson how the Lord sometimes, things that are very deep that go beyond or before our consecration, those are things that have to be dealt with and learned from also. And I just want to share just the greatest blessing in it for me. Well, first off, my mom kind of had the right attitude all along. My brother was very liked at work. He was just a real loner. And we came to San Diego, we had a tree planting, we saw where he worked, we learned, you know, about him from his, you know, employees and so forth. And the brethren here hosted us. It was a real blessing, that whole thing. But the brethren, I was surprised how many brethren had experienced estrangement in their families. And one brother in particular wrote about his experience, and he said, you know, God and Jesus have estrangement with Lucifer. I never even thought that. That was just such a comfort. And you ask about experiences, that was one that I'm just really thankful, because, you know, sometimes you carry things you don't even realize until the experience is upon you, as it was for me in that. But coming here just reminds me, because that was the last time I was here, so. No, it's not recent, but it was on my heart, Brother Jim. So appreciate the testimonies and being here.
We appreciate your sharing that with us. And the coming age, the resurrection, will be a time of reconciliation. First, a reconciliation to God, but also reconciliation of one person to another. And who would like to be next? Was that a hand back there?
No, but you were supposed to bring somebody's love.
Yes, I was. That's right. And we have somebody even closer here now. But Anya and Vitaly Kausch send their Christian love and greetings to one and all here at the convention. And thank you for the reminder. I have a good memory, but a better forgettery. And who'd like to be next? Brother Brown.
Brother Jim and your brethren, good to be with you all. Glad to see those of you who are able to make it. I know have come from a long distance at many occasions, so. Good to have you with us. I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and I thought, well, it's kind of a theme you could use, right? So I thought of a few things that I jotted down to give thanks for. And And since my little list here was developed, I've added three more. And the first one is thanks for the two talks that we've already had, the two services that have already been given. Very diverse, you know. Brother Harry's talk and Brother Tom's talk were quite opposite ends of the spectrum, but very, you know, helpful on both occasions. The third extra thing to give thanks for, I'm going to hold off until I get to it. It'll be a little later. The first thought I had was the thankfulness that I exist, that I'm part of God's creation, that He has created life, and that we're all part of His wonderful creation, as expressed in Psalms 8:5, man made a little lower than the angels and made in His image with God-like qualities. So that's something to be thankful for, God's creation. I also wanted to give thanks for my lovely wife, who's not here right now. She's delivering some things back to the house, but she'll be back shortly. And we've been married 38 years, and I'm thankful for that. And I came back to my seat, and here's number three, my third edition of thanks. Somebody left a plaque. I don't know where it came from, but it was sitting at my place here, and it says, Brad and Marilyn Bach, established July 12, 1980, which was our anniversary. That's our date of our anniversary of our marriage. So I don't know who left this here. Just appeared. I also wanted to say how thankful I am to live in, we live in a world that has a lot of violence. And it's been extremely violent at different periods of history. And I feel very fortunate that I have lived at a time of relative peace. We had the opportunity to go to Normandy in France. And having been there and having seen the cemetery and the place where so many people gave up their lives was very moving. And it really makes you think. It really makes you think about how wonderful it is to live and not be exposed to war and privation and all the death that some people have. So thankful for that. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4, it says, pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. But to have that peaceable life is a real blessing. I'm thankful, naturally, to have an understanding, knowledge of the divine plan. That God called me. He said, come to me through my son Jesus. And He gave me this invitation, which was undeserved. It is unmerited. And nevertheless, I'm so thankful for it. I'm also thankful for Jesus, that He loved this human family, that even while we were condemned and in an unlovely state of being, that He gave up His life, and He embraced God's plan of salvation, which made me think of Philippians 2:7-8, and this is from the New English Translation, which I thought was the best one I found. He emptied Himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I have to say that I'm thankful also for the testings that come as a result of having consecrated. And even though I find myself saying at times, I don't need this, fact is, it is exactly what I need, or I wouldn't be having the experience. And we know that we need to learn obedience under difficulty and trials. And so I have to give thanks for these things. And Jesus learned obedience, compliance, submission by the things that He suffered. So we have much to give thanks for. And I want to end by saying, dear brethren, that I'm thankful for all of you that have entered into this race, that are striving to gain your crown of victory. And And I'm thankful for the fact that we'll have a lot more lessons and instruction in the scriptures upcoming this weekend.
Good. Well, kind of think about one fellow saying, I caught myself saying, why me? And I realized, why not me? And who would like to be next? While we're waiting, just mention that my opportunities to witness seem to come in the month of September during the Los Angeles County Fair. It runs for most of the month of September. In fact, it has runs at times for the whole month. But a few experiences that have been particularly interesting or heartwarming. I mentioned to this one fellow as to what's going on. We see the difficulties that Christians are having in other parts of the world, whether it's Yazidis or those in the Ukraine. But all in all, it seems that Satan's desire is to take down Israel in the West. We know that he cannot take down Israel because the Lord has set his name on it. But nobody has said in the scriptures that he cannot take down what's called Christianity. But for the Christian, there is a consolation prize. But if Christianity is taken down as a major force in the world will not be able to blame Christ for Armageddon. And he looked at me and he says, that was worth coming to the fair for. I think I've told you several times about a fellow comes up to the booth and he says, what's the best vitamin for a Christian? And I didn't know. And he says, B1. And who'd like to be next? Brother Tom.
Well, Tom Gilbert from the Southern Wisconsin Bible Students, and Brad's testimony just was inspiring to think about thankfulness. We're only one day past that, and somehow I wasn't even thinking along that line. But I am so absolutely thankful for the plan that God has laid out in the scriptures, and that he has revealed that to us and made it available. The fact that he has a plan that includes everyone is what gladdens my heart more than anything in this life. To me, seeing the human condition, I am so very, very glad that he has a plan to rescue everyone from that. And the importance of that going forward is more important than any part I might play in that. I've said in a discourse, and was relating to a brother, if God told me right now that he had no place for me in his kingdom and his plan in the future, that would be okay, as long as I know that his plan is going forward for everyone else, because that is my joy in life, is the hope of all mankind. And I praise God and his dear son who make that possible and bring that joy to my heart. I'm thankful for that.
Good. And the question is, would I be willing to be cut off if it could mean the salvation of the whole rest of the world? And who would like to be next? And Brother David.
I thought maybe Jan was going to speak, but Oh, you were. Well, then come you, please.
Yes, Jan, you first. But do tell us your name.
Jan Gilbert from Southern Wisconsin Bible Students. We're very happy to be here. It's always nice to get to a convention that you don't regularly go to and see all the different brethren. And we've enjoyed the fellowship and the hospitality of Keith and Carol. And as a lot of you know, our younger son has been incarcerated, kind of in and out of jail and prison, and the experience continues. But we're very appreciative of the experience because we didn't understand why some people couldn't pull themselves up and knock off their behavior and be productive citizens until we had a couple of kids with mental illness. When mom was aging and couldn't read for herself anymore, I would drive to Chicago once a week and I would read to her. And so we went through lots of different books. But one particular paragraph that I appreciated, and this happened to be out of Brother Seclemian's discourses, was the following. God tests our strengths. It seems to me that God tries or tests not our weaknesses, but our strengths. Not our weak points, but our strong points. Isn't this reasonable? A teacher does not test his pupils until they have been instructed and have learned their lessons. The higher the education, the more difficult the examination. The greater our strengths, the greater our trials along those lines may be. Abraham was a man of unusual faith, so his faith was tried with unusual severity. The trials we have are evidences that we are making progress, that we have advanced, that God sees in us something worthy of testing and proving. We read in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall go forth as gold." Fiery trials do not produce or create the gold in our characters. They simply remove the dross and purify and make manifest the golden traits, that are already there, that have already been developed. As we read in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. I have to wait. Our trials should encourage and not discourage us. And that paragraph has brought a lot of solace to me and to some other brethren that I've shared it with who were going through particular trials. Because, this road is hard. But we've got our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus working with us to make it up that highway.
Good, and thank you. One of the things that they taught us in the chemistry was that of all the metals there are in the entire periodic table, gold is the only one that has no stable oxide at any temperature. So it is a picture or a symbol for us of incorruptibility. Here we are working on the incorruptibility of character so that we may be found worthy by God's grace for the incorruptibility of nature. Brother David.
Brother Jim and dear brethren, I'm Brother David Rice from San Diego.
I'm glad I let Jan go first because she mentioned Aaron again, and you know, it reminded me, I was very struck by Brother Tom mentioning love from his son Aaron. And I know Aaron, and we get along well, but he's had so many difficult experiences. I was really quite touched that he would remember us, you know, generally, and think to send his love. And if you speak to him next, and if you can remember, tell him David Rice sends a special hug to him. Please do. Sister Jan mentioned also in her testimony, the higher the education, the more difficult the test. Well, that impressed me so much that I wrote it down. And I have to think about that, but it reminds me of something that just happened yesterday. I got an email from a young lady who I'd never met. Her name is Vivian. She's a college student, first year at Stanford University. How did I reach this person? Well, about 3 weeks or maybe 3 months ago, my memory is dim here, somebody told me, go to the internet and watch this video, this YouTube. So it was put on by her, and it was all about my mother. And it was about how much my mother had impacted this young lady to study mathematics. Some of you know the history of my mother, and I won't dilate more on that. But I was so moved by her sweet, effervescent presentation that I wrote an email to her and thanks. Well, I didn't hear from her for a long time. But she wrote back, just last night I got it. And she said, she's been through midterm exams. Now she's going for a higher education and they're tough exams. That's why it reminded me of this episode. And she says, I was just too down and weary. She says, but then I got your email of appreciation for what I had done. It so perked me up, I got through the midterms. So she's just a real sweet young lady, Oriental young lady, and told me a little bit more about when she was just a young girl. She heard about my mother, and she, anyway, just some background there. But the reason I was going to give a testimony before all of that came back to mind was because of another email I got November 21st, so that's now 2 days ago, Wednesday. I'll read you the entire email. It is, how are you, Brother David? That's it. And this is from a man named Gergen. Well, I had to scratch my head to remember who this Gergen was, but I began to remember. He's a brother in Armenia. Now, if you don't know any other brethren in Armenia, probably you're right, there are none of our Bible Student Fellowship. So where did this young man come from? He's about 28 years old, and I remembered, I looked back in my files and found email correspondence back from March of this year. So I wrote back and it says, well, thank you, how nice to hear from you. I think it's been since March that we've conversed. And as I looked back at the email and then I asked him more questions and he supplied more answers, I realized he's from a family whose father is a Jehovah's Witness. His mother is not religious, nor are any of his siblings religious. Only his father. And then he picked it up from him. So he went on the internet some time ago and started searching about the Watchtower, and he was able to get in touch with brethren in Moldova. Now, Brother Kaus and the Kaus family is here from Moldova. Where are they? Here's them. Oh, yeah, thank you. So, you know, I knew we were having visitors from Moldova, and, you know, I think I was in Moldova one time and saw the brethren. I've seen him at conventions as well, though. So he was able to connect to those brethren because he speaks Russian in Armenia, and they would speak Russian in Moldova, a second language, and then connect with brethren in Ukraine. So he actually visited those brethren in Moldova and in Ukraine maybe a year or two ago. And he had established a fellowship. So now this only brother in Romania, in Armenia, is on a Bible study on the internet by Skype with brethren in Moldova and Ukraine on a weekly basis. And so he remembered me and just wanted to renew contact. So I just thought you'd like to know there's a brother in Armenia. And so it's so nice to realize seeds are being planted and going. I'm thankful to be here with you. I do appreciate the lessons today. And, you know, you listen carefully, you always get a new thought. Now, I never heard about that earring. I knew about the earrings they pulled off, you know. But I never made the connection about that earring pulled off with the connection, you know, that Rebecca, when she was called, she got a golden earring. She got one to put on. But now these people in rebelling against God, they're pulling them all off. So We always want to have an ear ready for divine instruction and divine truth. And appreciated Brother Tom's talk also, and reminded me how much the early founding things with respect to America were so deeply Christian-based. We're kind of drifting from that as a country, but I just hope there's enough momentum to take us to the kingdom without getting too far away, you know, further away from it. But the roots that we have as a Christian Western society are really what prepared the United States to be the ground for the harvest. And I do value that heritage very much. Thank you. I've talked too much.
Thank you. We have had a few Armenian brethren. One of them was Sister Josiah in the Bible in Long Island class. Two more were Brother and Sister Seclemian. Sister Seclemian was Sister Josiah's sister. And then Brother Robert Seclemian was given a job out in the San Francisco area. So Bill Blong was introducing him around as, I'd like you to meet Brother Seclemian. He's our new elder, just out of Babylon. Who'd like to be next? I'll just mention that Brother Alan Springer in Romania has just sent me an email about some real interest in Monterey Park, California. So we've established contact at least, and apparently she's a live one. Okay, let's see, was there someone over here? Brother Richard.
Well, Brother Jim and dear brethren, I wanted to bring love from the brethren in Chicago, and especially at the Tuesday night meeting, and especially from your sister. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing to have this family. And the Lord really overruled everything. Went so smoothly and easily getting Sister Sue and I here today. Last Friday, I was flying in to Chicago in the early evening, and Sister Sue was going to pick me up at the airport, which is usually fairly trivial. From the time that she came close to the airport exit until we got back to the same point on the toll road heading in the other direction was 1 hour. If, you know, O'Hare Airport is getting rebuilt, and it'll be lovely when they finish. But it is truly a mess right now, and I was thinking, okay, so we're traveling out for Thanksgiving. This is not going to be really, you know, a lot of fun to do, but, you know, we're going to do it. And, you know, the Lord really overruled, and he maketh the storm a calm, is what it comes down to. He maketh the storm a calm. And so I was very thankful for that. There have been a lot of experiences, some of them not easy, but through all of these, the Lord has shown that His hand is there guiding and watching over everything. And I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful for that. And I feel, you know, as we have this opportunity to visit the brethren, you are really dear, close family. And when I, you know, see some of the brethren that I haven't seen for, some of you get do a little more traveling, some of you a little less traveling, and when I see you, it's really refreshing to be able to come back together, because this is not the experience that you get in the world. And It had been 43 years since I had been posted in Japan with Brother Bob Davis and Sister Mary Jane Burns, who's now passed away many, many years. She was 60 years old 43 years ago. My son thought, oh, gee, you'd like to go back to Japan. It was like, you know, that was a real defeat for me, because I came in thinking, oh, well, I've read the volumes, you know, and I've been to the studies with the brethren, and I've got a good sense of the divine plan, so this is going to be, you know, just charge forward and conquer, you know, and onward Christian soldiers. And that's not how things ended up. Some places in this world are going to have to wait until the Lord opens their eyes in the kingdom, and I'm afraid Japan falls into that category, because the Christian believers are less than 2%, and of that, most are Catholic. And I'm not going to take the testimony time to go into the history and so forth, just to say that Japan was a defeating experience for me personally, and it focused me on the diversity and the headaches. The kingdom's going to be wonderful, but it's really going to be a learning experience for a lot of mankind who are coming from a totally alien background, not knowing anything of God's word or plan. And Japan is a wonderful country. It's a beautiful country. It's an orderly country. They print the bus schedule to the minute and they follow it. That's pretty remarkable. But it is not a country that knows God. If I ever need to illustrate a discourse of the water coming out of the, Revelation 12, the water out of the mouth of the dragon, they actually have a dragon with the mouth spewing out water, and everybody goes and they, you know, purify themselves by taking a cup and drinking it and spitting it out and washing their hands, that kind of stuff. It's interesting. But anyway, I won't take your time. I did want to bring the love from the brethren and just say that I'm thankful, even though I was thinking this is going to be horrible traveling today. That was the old man, and it wasn't. It was overruled. It's a blessing, and it's a blessing to be here.
Thank you. And I might add that brethren in the Los Angeles area, including Covina, also send love here. Now, it may seem that it will be difficult for some people to come into harmony with the kingdom arrangement, but wait till those in Japan and other countries hear that we are suffering a great deal here, but what's this we hear about a fellow named Abraham telling about how the dead are coming back to life in Israel? Maybe we better see what's going on there and see if they'll do something for us. I might say that among the things that I am thankful for, I see one or two here that I got acquainted with my first year and having an opportunity to meet with Bible students, and both of them from Michigan. So here it is, 60 plus years later, and to see each one in the way is a real encouragement to me. So, thank you very much, and back to Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for leading the meeting, and thank you, brethren, for your testimonies. We'll resume tomorrow morning at 9:30, so let's try to all be on time. Some of you might be interested to know that we've had, during the day here, or the afternoon, somewhere between about 20 to 25 listening and also watching online. And also bring you love from Sister Elaine Redeker. So let's close the meeting and the day with hymn number 108. Hymn number 108. We'll ask Brother Jim to dismiss us with prayer.
Be thankful for the expressions that have been given. For those that are encouraging, let us be encouraged by them. For those that have been difficult, that we may benefit by the experience that our other brethren have had and be taught by the lesson that they have given us in the way that they have handled them. Help us each one to the end to be fashioned into the image of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and be with us now for another day at this convention. We ask in Jesus' precious and most worthy name. Amen.